This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at the wheat markets for Monday, October 14th. Well, wheat markets had a pretty active week last week. We started out on a firm tone on Monday, and then we spent the next few days kind of backing off with some fairly heavy selling pressure on Thursday following a bearish supply-demand report. But on Friday, we came roaring back with an announcement that we at least had some sort of an agreement in place with China. And that certainly created a fairly positive tone to the grain space. Now, the agreement, which is at this point just a handshake, and China is wanting more meetings to hammer out the details, so obviously this is far from complete, but it does suggest that China has agreed to purchase between $40 and $50 billion worth of U.S. ag goods. Now, is it over the next 2 years, or is it annually with, you know, by 2 years? It's hard to really hammer that down, but that's a very big number. The most that they had purchased in 1 year before the tariffs were in place was $16 billion. To sort of say that you're going to triple that is pretty remarkable. So, you know, what are they going to buy? I mean, do they really need that much stuff? They do need more pork, and they sure could use more soybeans, but it's worth noting that Brazil and Argentina are trying furiously to fill that void, and they've made a big inroads into that. But the bottom line is much of the business has moved away from the United States as far as soybeans. We could have had a huge pork market to them, but the tariffs stopped much of that. They've turned to the European Union by and large for pork supplies, but it has elevated world prices of soybeans or of pork, and for soybeans, of course, it's created record high prices in Brazil and Argentina, obviously a market incentive to plant more of those. So it's caused major disruptions across the trade for a number of items. But so if we can hammer out some sort of an agreement with China, then obviously that's a boon to U.S. agriculture. We'll see where that goes, basically. As far as the supply-demand report, of course, it showed U.S. wheat ending stocks higher than expected. They took exports down. They took feed use down. They also took production down just a little bit, and they took imports down. But nevertheless, our ending stocks were bumped up another 29 million. So we're very comfortable. In fact, a little on the high side as far as wheat stocks go, and world stocks as well, still sitting at record high. So there, again, there's not a shortage of wheat in the world. There's not a shortage of milling grade wheat in the world either. Even with all the quality problems coming out of the northern plains, with the last of the spring wheat harvest, you know, getting rained on and snowed on and lodged and wind and knocked down, so it's a mess, and it's basically just feed wheat. Same thing with Canada. As much as half of their crops still in the field when those storms hit. So it's, you got a huge amount of feed wheat out of spring wheat country, which is going to slowly make its way into the pipeline, either get fed or get blended off, but it's going to take a while to do that. In the southern plains, we had quite a bit of feed wheat as well, but that quickly moves into the feedlots because they're right there. It's a different story for spring wheat. Much of that will probably go into storage and hope for a high quality crop next year to blend that off. So you've got those dynamics working, but it's not enough to really carry the market. Spring wheat led the way for a couple weeks, and then it just seemed to run out of gas. Now we've got other positive developments for wheat. We'll see if China comes through. The talk is that they would buy white wheat and spring wheat, which is what they normally buy anyway. They'll buy high protein wheat to blend off with their lower quality stuff, but it just depends on how much they buy. It's also worth remembering that according to their statistics, and USDA isn't arguing with these numbers, that China carries half of the world's carryout for wheat and about half of the world's carryout for corn. So, and if those numbers are correct, then it's, you know, they don't have a shortage either. So to think that they would have to step up purchases of those crops is kind of a stretch, you know. They just don't need it. Where would they put it? They already are struggling with storing what they have and it going, you know, deteriorating because of poor storage facilities. They just don't have, and they really haven't invested any money in storage capacity. So I don't know. I just don't see them making enormous purchases. The last time they did that was like in 07 and 08 when the whole world was in a tight supply situation. They bought tons and tons of wheat, and they're still trying to sell it into the open market from government supplies. It's poor quality. It's deteriorated. So, you know, they don't usually buy vast amounts of wheat or corn unless they feel there's a shortage. And again, they just don't have good quality storage facilities to keep it. So I'm questioning whether they can purchase huge amounts of grain because they just don't have room for it and they don't need it. But we'll see how that all plays out. So this morning we got the wheat markets mixed. The winter wheats are up a couple cents, spring wheat's down 1 cent, corn and beans are down 1. So that's kind of how we're starting our week. We actually gapped higher on corn and soybeans, but obviously they're not holding. And for wheat, we've basically just been chopping around. So, you know, you had the enthusiasm from the trade agreement. How much that's going to carry the market, I don't think, because we don't have the details. And China's notorious for changing the details as they move along. Or the U.S. may be saying that, yes, we have an agreement in place, and the Chinese may say, well, that's not been finalized yet. So obviously the details are not hammered out. This is not a signed deal. So there's still quite a bit more to go as far as that goes. Real quickly, Argentina putting out some production estimates. They've lowered it down to 19.5 million tons. They had a dry spell there that probably shaved some top end off and some heat. USDA still had them at 20.5 last week. So harvest will begin in the southern hemisphere fairly soon. We'll be in full swing from about mid-November to late December. That will flow through the world pipeline through January most likely. So that's our next round of pressure. And that's why, you know, it's typical that we get a fall rally in wheat because the northern hemisphere's harvest is complete and gets a little more difficult to pry it out of the bin. But then you get the southern hemisphere harvest coming in, kind of filling in some of those voids. Now, Australia is not going to have a great crop, but USDA did lower that by about 1 million tons last week. So they're still looking at pretty disappointing production. But Argentina is on track for quite a large crop, and I would expect that they would be aggressive selling it, especially if the export tariffs have not been put in place. They've been really aggressive over the last couple months, expecting that there would be an export tariff, but we haven't really seen that imposed yet. But nevertheless, they've got a big crop. They're going to want to move it, and they're going to have to compete with a pretty tough field of Europeans and Black Sea players as well. So if you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.